Hi, my name is Danny Morrell, and this is Real Estate Sales, the podcast for real estate professionals and entrepreneurs that are on a path of daily inspired action leading towards success in every area of their lives. Get ready to once again break through and realize your true potential. Hello, everybody. How are you? And welcome. This is episode 32 of the Real Estate Sales Show. I am your host, as always, Danny Morrell. DannyMorrell.com or RealEstateSalesShow.com for you to participate in all the awesome things that we are doing. I got to tell you, I'm excited about this one because this young lady is like boss. Like, she is taking the world by storm, and I love speaking to people who are taking the world by storm. But I want to just kind of hold off that introduction for a little bit because we've got some business to cover. First things first, guys, I want to say thank you. Last month, the month of August 2016, was our highest listened to month ever. We had just over 15,000 people download, which is nuts because I don't even know how this is happening, but it makes my heart very, very happy to know that that we've created something that people like to listen to and that hopefully you're finding a lot of value from. So thank you so much, because from the bottom of my heart, I just want to bless everybody and help the community, and it sounds like that's what's happening. Secondly, I had a review written. If you don't know, reviews and ratings help us tremendously. So we are up to 143 ratings. 141 of them are 5-star. One of them is a 4-star. Don't know what happened with that one. And then one, we always have the weirdos out there. One had given this a 1-star. So it's probably somebody that doesn't like me or doesn't like the success of the show. That's called normal. You just got to deal with that. But I want to say thank you to MGOD525 that says, great contest and best podcast. So thank you, MGOD525, for listening, and hope you enjoy this show because I think this one's going to be phenomenal. With that said, if you haven't already done so, I'm going to show you, if you're watching us on our YouTube channel, I'm going to show you, there's a little purple app on your iPhone called Podcasts. When you click on that app and you type in my name, Danny Morrell, and if you click subscribe, then you'll have the show in audio version all the time so you can listen to it while you're working out, inspired first thing in the day. And I got to tell you, a lot of our listeners have been telling us that they go back to listen to previous episodes with Tyleon Guerrero or Annette Fraley, Adrian Hernandez, Greg Harrelson for re-inspiration on a daily basis. And I think that this show right here is going to go down in history, my friends, as one of the good ones. Say hello to my friend, Ms. Lindsay Harn. Lindsay, say hello.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for having me, Danny, and congrats on the success of your show.
Oh, I am. You know, the great thing is we're having a blast doing it. So that's the best thing about it. So, Lindsay, 100 sales this year.
Yes.
What the heck is that all about?
It's about time.
You know what? End the show right now. That was the answer you guys needed to hear. Did you hear that answer? Guys, I want you to write this down if you're listening, please. Business is 80% psychology and 20% resourcefulness. 80% psychology, 20% strategy. That means business is 80% your mind and your thoughts and 20% figuring out how you're going to do things. And the great thing about that wasn't even planned, I threw one up for Lindsay and she freaking hit it out of the park. She gave the right answer. She said, damn it, it's about time. So that means that she's been having an intention to do this, and we're going to discover where that intention came from, what the strategy is behind it, what the mindset is behind it, the whole work. So Lindsay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
So first things first, where do you live on planet Earth?
I live in San Luis Obispo, California, so about halfway between LA and San Francisco on the coast.
So San Luis Obispo, I've been there before.
Oh, awesome.
It's a beautiful, nice little cozy college town, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it really is. And so tell me, what brought you to San Luis Obispo, or were you born there?
I came to Cal Poly when I was 17 to get my degree in psychology. Awesome. And graduated, I was 21 years old, had an internship, wasn't quite sure what I was going to do. And right before graduation, met Hal Swayze, my business partner, and the rest is history.
And you know, I'm glad you mentioned that name because I'm in a mastermind group with some pretty phenomenal people. some of the best real estate people in the country, and Hal is one of them, and I love him to death. Had an opportunity to have dinner with him recently, and I love his mind. I love the way he thinks. He wants to grow. He's hungry for growth. So tell me about that. How did you guys meet?
I was doing an internship at Big Brothers Big Sisters, and as part of my internship, I put on a fundraiser and went and met with the board of directors to present the fundraising results.
Okay.
And 2 days before, he had landed back in the United States after 9 months of traveling abroad, and he happened to show up to the meeting 2 days, a little bit jet lagged, and at that point, the executive director said, "Hey, we love Lindsay. We'd like to keep her, but we can only afford her 20 hours a week. So we'd highly recommend her to anybody looking for a part-time worker." Okay. And the next thing you know, Hal's assistant at the time called me, and I went for an interview and got the job.
Awesome. And so what was that job? What? How did that come about?
I was basically getting 10 bucks an hour out of college with my degree, taking photos in 2008, doing the marketing, kind of doing all the prep work for him on his listings.
Okay, I need you guys to listen to this story, please, because right off the bat, I can tell you this is going to be a good one. This is going to be the power of, is going to be about the power of a powerful psychology. It really is what it's going to be about. Because here's a young lady who started off 10 bucks an hour, taking pictures, reminds me of my first assistant, Adrian Hernandez, who is now killing it out in Mission Viejo, South Orange County. And okay, and so tell me, so you're taking pictures, you know, you're doing all the grunt work, and then what happened? How did that convert into what it is today?
Yeah, so his escrow coordinator had her hours reduced, and she decided one day just not to come back. So Hal said, "Well, now you're the escrow coordinator. Here's a file. Figure out what to do and call the title company and get to it." So I started basically doing everything for Hal, and then his buyer's agent left in 2009, and he's...
Hold on, time out. I want to ask you about that. This is important. So Hal, one of the top producing real estate salespeople in the country, by the way, hands you a position and says, "Here's the deal, here's the files, figure it out."
Yeah.
And you did what? You A, went and cried and asked for help, B, went and had five drinks to kind of calm the pain, or C, you figured it out. Which one did you do?
I figured it out.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Lindsay, you
actually... It was ugly, but I figured it out.
Lindsay, you mean to tell me that you actually just didn't have excuses and you actually just figured it out?
I had been exposed just a little bit to the Mike Ferry system, and I knew I was not supposed to interrupt Hal. So I would call the people at the title company, friends, anybody I knew, and I'd just say, "Hey, I have no idea what I'm doing. Will you hold my hand and walk me through it?"
Right. And so you knew that part of this system that we all follow is, hey, that guy's the rainmaker, and I got to stay out of his way and make sure that I handle the fish that he's catching, basically, correct?
Yep. So I'd ask girls in the office, I'd talk to whoever I could and just try to learn as much as I could from them, because I had no real estate background and really no knowledge of the process.
And you know what I love about this, guys? If you're a listener, I want you to write down the word, or just remember the word resourcefulness. Resourcefulness, because 99% of the things that I have learned in my life, there's been nobody to teach me. Nobody at all. I want something. And I know that the only way to get it is to go out and figure out how to do it. And then I go do it. And Lindsay, it sounds like that's what you did as well.
Yep.
Awesome. Wonderful. Okay. So then what happens? So you're rocking and rolling. You're doing the escrow coordinating thing. And then what happens?
And then what happened is his buyer's agent was planning on leaving in the end of 2009. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Hurry up and get licensed. You're going to start doing the escrows, doing the listings, and working with the buyers."
So again, you're kind of thrown into it.
Yep. So I got licensed. I was very nervous, but I think I got licensed on my 23rd birthday. I found out I passed the test.
Awesome.
So yeah, I would basically be at my desk working and then leave and go work with our buyers, come back, finish the escrow process. So I would just kind of juggle both. And that first year I did 15 deals.
Okay. So you did 15 deals in your first People, listen to me, please, for the love of God. Business is 80% psychology and 20% strategy. Listen to what she's telling you. I know for a fact some of you guys aren't doing 15 deals in a year and you don't have a job. And this is what you're doing on a full-time basis. And here's somebody telling you in her first year in the business, listen to me very carefully, did 15 transactions while she had to come back to work and manage the hecticness of one of the top producing teams in the country. So please think about this. So Lindsay, what did you learn from that experience?
I just learned about time management and getting really efficient. Working with the buyers was a pretty easy transition for me because I already knew the listing process, so I saw all the houses, and then I knew how to handle them once they were in escrow. So it was a pretty smooth transition to just kind of go out there, ask them questions, learn about them, and get the deals done. Of course, I was nowhere as efficient then as I am now, but I was willing to put in the time and the effort. And to me, 60 hours a week felt like a normal full-time job.
Right, right. Tell me this, Lindsay. I know that one of the big hang-ups that real estate salespeople have is just an overall fear of people. Like, you know what I mean? Like an overall fear of communicating with people and speaking with people and the fear of rejection and fear of confrontation. Those are two big ones in our community. Did you deal with any of that in the first year?
Of course. You absolutely.
Did. Okay, good.
Yeah. I dealt with it as an assistant before I even got the job. I mean, an angry seller calls in because their escrow is delayed a day and they're screaming at me. Mm-hmm. So you just learn to have fairly thick skin and, you know, do your best to just move on.
I love it. And so can you give me specific examples of how you dealt with it?
You know, I was lucky. In college, I would go home for the summers and Christmas, and I would actually work at Nordstrom selling men's clothing. And they actually have a database where you're supposed to call everybody for sales to tell them about the sale that's coming up. And, you know, we've got a sale coming up, Danny. I wanted to invite you. Could we set up an appointment to show you what we've got? New ties, new suits, etc. So I was lucky enough to have experience kind of doing the cold call thing and having people turn me down. They go, what the heck? How'd you get my number? Oh, well, I sold you a suit two years ago. Okay, well, I don't remember you. No, I don't want to buy a suit. Right. Okay. So I had a little bit of experience dealing with that. And then at my internship, I had to ask people for money. I was a fundraiser. So I was constantly being rejected. So someone saying they don't want to buy a house or sell a house is a lot worse than some of the other stuff I had dealt with.
I love it. Fantastic. I got to tell you guys, if you're watching on YouTube, you'll notice that my light's turned off.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Right? So I literally, while you were talking, I'm texting my friend, please walk in and wave your hands because I can't move right now. And then the lights pop back on. But listen, guys, listen, it's funny that we're having a lighthearted moment. But, you know, it just goes to show you, and correct me if I'm wrong, Lizzie, but if you ever want to really be successful, you can't be attached to things and you can't give things negative meanings. Like the lights went off. Big deal. Just figure it out and move on. Would you agree?
I totally agree. You have to do that in this business.
Fantastic. And so, okay, so now you're doing both. You're doing buyer's agents, you're running the escrows. Then what happens?
So by the time that first year was up, we realized we really needed some more help if I was going to keep pushing and doing more and more. So from then on, we were able to get me some support staff. So first it was a listing coordinator to basically take that completely off my plate. So all I was doing was escrows and selling. And then the next phase was, okay, you know what, you can really be more productive getting out of the administrative day-to-day and really go full-time selling. So we made that transition and got an escrow coordinator and a full-time listing coordinator so that Hal and I could really both focus on the sales aspect.
And tell me this, Lindsay, I don't know if you realize the amazing blessing, well, I'm sure you do, the blessing of working in this type of an environment with this type of an individual, but you know, you also kind of saw when it was time to start delegating stuff and to start giving stuff off to other people.
Absolutely.
And so let's talk about that for a quick second before we get into what you're doing today.
Okay.
So if you could give our listeners some feedback on right about when they should be hiring that first assistant in your eyes, or you know, what that looked like for you. Maybe they could just learn from your example, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, Mike Ferry says around 40 to 50 deals is when you really start needing your first full-time assistant. For Hal and I was doing 30-ish buyer sales, mm-hmm. and he was probably doing 60 or 70 listings at that time of year.
Right.
And that's for us when we really needed to get some full-time help. So I think if you're at 40 deals, definitely get your first assistant. If you're at 80, 90, then you really need to start thinking about getting a second full-time person.
And so, Lindsay, I've got to ask, you know, the beauty is you only know one way. And,
yes.
and that to me is you know the right way.
Right.
And yet there's so many in this business that know the Mickey Mouse way. I don't know whose way they follow, to be quite honest with you. But the reality is that there is no, like, there's no system in place, and people are hiring people. Like, people had nervous breakdowns right now, you said, when you said 40 to 50 deals, because people are hiring assistants at like 15 deals. They think they made it. They think that they are Liberace himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what do you think about that? Why do you think that is? Or what's the psychology that allowed you to push and do more before you had to get some help?
You know, I think I've always just really valued hard work. And so I thought, you know, if I really am committed to this and putting in hard work, everything else will fall into place. So for me, being a bit of a control freak, it was really hard for me to delegate. We would hire these people and I was scared to death to let go. But once it clicked to me that that the return on investment, I can make a lot more money working with clients than handholding files, that being able to let go, I think, is very important. And then as far as, you know, having an assistant at 10 or 15 deals, I mean, I guess if you can afford that, that's fine. But like Mike says, do them all in the first quarter and then just go on vacation the rest
vacation,
of the year.
Right.
Yeah.
You guys didn't get that one, but that's another story, but that's okay. Yeah, gotcha. Okay, good. So Lindsay, we're having fun. This is good.
Yes, this is awesome.
Very good. Yeah. Okay. So then what happens? Then you're, you know, you've got help now, and how did your numbers start to climb? Give me like a year by year trajectory.
Yeah. So in 2010, my first year, I did 15 deals.
Okay.
And then my second year in 2011, I got up to 40 deals.
That's a big
which was
jump.
Higher than I thought. I made notes because I knew you would ask me. And then 2012, I got up to about 50 deals.
Okay.
And then 2013, 2014, I was at 70, then 71. Last year, I closed 84, mm-hmm. and now I'll break 100. But my coach and I were just really putting together a plan of 70 was really comfortable for me. Mm-hmm. That was kind of my spot. 70 deals, I could do that. So then it was, how do we really get me off of that plateau and back into growth? So that's what we've been working on for the past year and a half.
I love it. And so what did it take? What did it take to get you? Because again, you know, where your plateau was 70, some people's plateau is like 20.
So, yeah.
You know what I mean? So what did it
Absolutely.
Take for you to break through?
So for like the first 4 years I was involved, I actually was silly enough to never even go to a retreat. So I was like, oh, I know what I'm doing. I'll take care of everything while Hal's gone.
Right.
And I mean, the first 5 years I worked for Hal, I never took a vacation. I was just obsessed and committed to grinding.
Wow.
But what I realized is actually getting out of your town and going and meeting really interesting people,
yeah.
masterminding, going to the events, that is all so inspiring. Even though you're leaving work, for me, it actually makes me more productive.
Absolutely, it does. I wouldn't be the person I am today without the insight, without the guidance, without the support of some of the amazing people that I've met in the industry. And I'm sure you would agree with that as well.
Absolutely. So my second year selling real estate, I broke $100,000, which for me was at 23 years old. I felt, okay, I've made it. I feel pretty excited.
Right.
I had not a single person in my life I could tell. I didn't have friends I was comfortable sharing with. I didn't really want to talk to my family about it. And so for me, now I go to these events and I can talk to people. This is what I'm going to do when I make $1 million. This is, and being able to share and have that support network and people cheering you on is just so amazing. So everybody listening, you know, look up MikeFerry.com and find those events and start meeting those people, because that will push you.
Absolutely, it will. Absolutely. And so I've got to ask, what will you earn this year?
This year, I should be somewhere probably between 750 and 800,000.
If you're not watching, I'm like pumping my fist. I'm jumping for joy. This is awesome. So, Lindsay, let's start with some of the basics.
Okay.
What does your daily schedule look like? And frame that for me in what the overall week looks like. Let's talk about your time management.
Okay.
A bit. Yeah.
So Monday through Friday, probably like most agents, are pretty much the same in terms of I get to the office in the morning and I prospect for 2.5 to 3 hours.
Okay.
Then I take a break, go meet with the staff, do a little bit more prospecting. Then I go to lunch. Then I set appointments, do administration, and if I don't have anything, then I prospect more.
Okay, so listeners, pay attention, because this is critical. It's very easy to say you want to do better. It's very easy to envision and get excited about doing better. And then there's a whole nother concept called actually working to get better, and specifically working at income-generating activities. So Lindsay just said that without saying it. Lindsay just said, I spend 80% of my time generating income, doing activities that will generate income. And would you agree with that, Lindsay?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, fantastic. And so, and that is your typical framework from day to day?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, let me ask you this question. So let's say for those folks that are out there that probably do that,
okay,
but don't necessarily generate the same type of results that you generate.
Right.
I know what it is. I know it has a lot to do with your psychology, your mindset, your belief, your drive. I mean, just the energy that you are projecting is projecting an energy from me. I want you guys to consider this. I want you guys, if you're listening right now, if you're running, whatever, I know you can feel the energy going back and forth. But what if we were to talk like this and, you know, we were really, you know, not too confident, then it wouldn't be the same type of conversation.
Right.
And I want you to get that this is what people are hearing from you when you are on the phone with them. So, Lindsay, what do you think it is? What's the difference that makes a difference?
You know, I guess I love the thrill of putting a deal together. I mean, if I could just negotiate deals and put that together today, that excites me. That gets me really pumped up.
Uh-huh.
So I think you just have to make the business fun and exciting no matter what. So
okay,
if you're prospecting, you go, I hate this. This sucks. Go play your favorite station on Pandora, or, you know, get yourself in a place where you're excited and you're happy to be there.
I love it. I love it. Okay. So talk to me about this. You finally get a client. What does your buyer process look like?
Usually I talk to them on the phone first, do a bit of over the phone pre-qualifying. If they're not paying cash or don't have a lender that's local selected, my next step is I have my lender in town, give them a call and get their pre-approval in place.
Mm-hmm.
And once that's been done, then I set up a face-to-face consultation here in my office.
Okay. And I'm going to rewind a little bit, because
okay,
I believe that part of being a successful agent and part of being able to do a large volume of business is, you know, those relationships with your service partners have got to be on point. So,
absolutely.
So I can only imagine. Listen very carefully, guys. You attract like attracts like. So I can only imagine whoever your lender is pretty on it as well. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I'm slightly impatient. So if they don't get back to me within an hour, I'm like, call me back now or I'm going down the line, because I am impatient and I hate waiting, especially when you're in appointment setting money mode.
Did you, Lindsay, and I don't know if you did,
yeah,
but did you by any chance see that video that I posted yesterday, where I was talking about my buyer process when I was an agent?
Shoot, I missed it.
You
I'll
did?
Have to go back
okay,
and watch it.
This is so amazing that you just said this, because it's so funny. I posted a little clip from a talk that I recently did in San Diego. And the talk was around, you know, improving production, so forth and so on. And in the clip, I say, you know, when I was working with a buyer, I would get my answer for my pre-qualification from my lender in less than 30 minutes.
There you go.
Because anything more than that, it would drive me through the wall, right?
Yeah.
And then I said, and I told the audience, and I said, some of you guys are waiting 5 weeks. 5 weeks. And you have to cut the time frame down if you want to fit a large amount of people within the cycle of a year.
Right. In 5 weeks, it's like, who is that person?
Exactly. So would you agree that people are losing buyers just because they never capture their interest? And if they ever did, they're losing their interest because of the amount of time it takes to go through the process. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And I mean, these people may not know what they're doing or may not be familiar with the process. And they're looking for someone to take charge and make it easy and painless on them. And that's the job. Don't make it harder than it is.
People, write that one down. Lindsay, it sounds like you're like a recording of me, because I kid you not, like I tell our agents all the time, people are looking for a leader and a teacher. People are looking for a leader and a teacher. People are literally looking for someone to grab them by the hand and kind of say, here's the way this is going to work. And
absolutely.
So I've got to ask you, to do 100 deals, you've got to be a phenomenal leader and a phenomenal teacher or guide. Was that natural for you, or is that something that you developed?
Something I definitely developed. When I started, I was a little bit on the young side. So I remember some of the older men would come in and go, okay, it's time to talk business. Let's bring Hal into the conference room,
right?
You know, because they would want some of that. And I'd say after a couple years, people go, wow, she knows what she's doing. I'm going to go along with her.
Okay. I love it. Awesome. Fantastic. And so, okay. So now we're getting them pre-qualified, and tell me what that consultation looks like with you and your buyers.
Okay. So I interview the buyer. I have a sheet of questions that I'm filling out in the process. Mm-hmm. And so I'm getting to know them and really trying to picture in my head a picture of their house. So they may be saying things to me. Okay. I want a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and we love this neighborhood, but we can only pay $600,000. And I go, okay. And then I go, well, have you considered the street, you know, this neighborhood, because the houses are pretty darn close, but, you know, they're going to be way more affordable. And so I'm really listening intently on what they're saying and almost building a picture mm-hmm. of what I think they want and sort of directing them to that. I also tell them, hey, you know this town just as well as I do. If you're out for a walk, if you're taking your kid to soccer practice, write down your favorite streets. Hmm. Be involved, be active in this process with me. Tell me what you hate, tell me what you love, and let Hal and I go try to find you something. So we're just very proactive. And really for me, I'm just trying to get a picture in my head of what the house is. And I'm able to usually visualize that and direct them pretty well.
I love that you just said that, because I have a belief that we are like heat-seeking missiles, we as human beings, and we really go out and get what we think about. And so for our listeners, I want you to pay attention. I literally want you to now envision, use the power of envisioning, and envision Lizzie during that meeting. And I want you to envision the thoughts that she's having during that meeting. Listen to the words she says. She says she's literally starting to think about and imagining and picturing a home in her head. How many of you guys realize, hopefully you realize, that if that home exists and Lindsay knows about it, chances are she could take him from the table to the house, to an offer, right back, and put him in escrow right away. As a matter of fact, Lindsay, we never talked about this, but how often does that happen?
It happens quite a bit. So I think this year I've been on just under 200 appointments, and I've done closed or pending over 80 deals. So I'm meeting with people 2.5 to 3 times total throughout the whole process.
Okay, Lindsay, you really need to stop right now.
Which my coach says is too many. I have to get it down.
No. This is just too much. You mean to tell me that you actually know your numbers? Is that what you're telling me right now?
Yes.
No, you know what? I'm done. This interview is over. No, this is... Yeah, I'm sorry. This is just a little too much for me right now.
Yeah.
So you, wait a minute. You mean to tell me, you mean to tell me that as a business person, you actually take the time to know how many appointments you've been on, what your conversion rates are, and what the results are from the appointments that you go on. You mean to tell me you actually do that?
I actually do. It's taken a little time, but I actually do it.
And obviously, I'm overreacting here. And
yeah.
That's because nobody does this. Nobody in real estate. Lindsay, in my office, I want you to pay attention to this.
Okay.
Because you're going to think I'm crazy how much I care about these people. I developed a platform that not only can they put their business plans in, not only can they track their numbers in, not only does it give them dashboards and ratios to give them all the analytics they need, but on top of that, I'm actually adding a dialer to the platform.
Wow.
So that, yes. And the dialer is going to now track their phone numbers, their contacts, their hours prospected, everything for them. What do you say about that?
That's absolutely amazing. I'm sure everybody's taking advantage of it.
They're not. They hate it. They think I'm crazy. They think this is why I'm like, because here, I mean, Lindsay, what, you know what? I'm going to have to take a little selfish moment.
Okay.
What would you say to my agency? What words of encouragement could you give them right now, please?
Stop fighting it. I know, because I've been there, but the sooner you stop fighting it and just let go and follow the system, you'll be years ahead of your coworkers or your other agents. I mean, just do it.
I love it. I love it. And so now let's get back to normal here. So tell me, when did you start tracking your numbers?
I started tracking my numbers probably 3.5 to 4 years ago.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
And can you give me an idea of what numbers you track? Just maybe the top three or four that are the most important?
Yeah, contacts, showing appointments, contracts, and sales.
And sales. So very basic.
Yeah.
I was just talking to them today about keeping it simple. So you are really good at keeping it very simple.
Absolutely.
So what would you say if I was, you know, let's say an agent who was doing 20 deals a year and I wanted to do 100 deals a year, what would you say the chances are of me getting there without tracking my numbers?
If you don't track your numbers, you have absolutely no idea what you're doing most of the day. So it makes it impossible to make corrections. A lot of improving from 20 to 40, 40 to 80 is really just small fine tuning things, but you don't know how many you're missing until you start tracking your numbers.
So what would you say the probability of an agent ever getting to 100 deals a year without tracking their numbers on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 it's like it's going to happen, 1 is like there's no way, shape or form it'll never happen.
0.5.
So less than 1.
Yeah, not gonna happen. I want it to happen for him, but it would just be, it's not going to.
Just no matter how much they pray, no matter how much incense they burn, no matter how many animals they sacrifice, it ain't gonna happen. That's what you're
not
saying.
Not gonna happen.
Give me one reason why.
Because you have no accountability in what you're doing.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. Yeah. Lindsay.
Yes.
I am very proud of you. You are doing a spectacular job. And I gotta tell you, kudos to Hal. I'll tell him myself. This is absolutely phenomenal. So tell me this. What are some of the goals that you are seeing in your future? What's going on in Lindsay's head?
Yeah, well, first of all, I just want to tell everybody the power of goal setting, because I thought about a week before I got to the retreat, I was listening to your podcast, getting ready for the day. And I thought, you know
podcast?
What? I want to be on Danny's show someday. And I said that to myself. I didn't tell anybody. I just said it to myself.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw you a week later and you walked by and I said, hey, I want to be on your show. And here we are. So if I would have never even set that goal to myself, I didn't even write it down, which would have made it even more powerful.
Right.
But just saying it to myself, I was just blown away that it actually came true. So for me, that was a reminder of every week, set small goals, set big goals, set long-term goals and short-term goals. But it actually works, because here I am.
You know what's so funny, Lindsay? And by the way, because I know a lot of you guys are hitting me up to be on the show, but you have to go prove it. Like you have to go put up the numbers. So don't say, hey, Danny, I want to be on your show. And I ask you how many deals a year you do. And you say, well, 0.5. You're kind of not going to get on the show. I'm just going to let you know right now. Lindsay, and I remember, I said, well, how many deals are you going to do? And you said what you said. And I said, okay, great. You're on. Let's do this, you know? So, Lindsay, I forgot what I was saying. sustained. This happens every once in a while because my brain is working 50,000 miles an hour. So let's go to the next level then.
Okay.
Now you actually have that buyer and you have that buyer and you've done the consultation and you've shown them some houses. Give me some techniques or tips that you would encourage everybody to use to transfer people from seeing a home to writing a strong offer.
Yeah, so in the consultation, I actually bring out the market stats and I say, these are all the homes available in your price range. It's a short list. And I said, here's the past 6 months of the homes in the neighborhoods you want that have sold. Mm. And so I basically demonstrate that in our market, there'll be one or two homes in a month that's going to meet their needs. So I basically set up the expectation before we go shopping that if you don't find the one or two this month, if they don't meet your needs, you're going to be waiting a whole nother month. So if you find anything that's, you know, 85% of the way there, you should give it some serious consideration because we may have to wait another month or even 2 months to find anything better, decent. So I kind of set their expectation that, that there's not a lot of great inventory. If you see anything close, you and your, you know, significant other really need to think about it.
And you know, Lindsay, your secret weapon, which I don't even know if you realize, like here you are, like, you know, sometimes like for me, this, you know, slick Latin, you know, suit wearing guy, you know, maybe if I say that they're going to be like, yeah, yeah, you're just trying to make a sale. Right. But here you are, you're a nice young girl who a young lady who is doing great things. And, you know, to them, they may not see your information as a threat. They may actually see it as valuable information.
Right.
You ever thought about that at all?
Yeah. I mean, I try not to scare people or threaten them. I mean, it's always about them. And I usually just bring up the fact that, you know, over half of our business comes from happy customers.
Yeah.
So my goal at the end of it is that they're going to call me in a year. They just put their Christmas tree up in their new house. They're excited. So, I mean, my job is to make sure that they're happy. I don't want to sell their house and sell them another house in, you know, 1 year from now. Right. I want them to be happy and feel like I listened to them and found them what they want. And I think by going through that interview, you're really showing them that you're putting them first and looking out for them.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. So that interview, that was that consultation that you mentioned.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay, wonderful. Lindsay, I think we are going to go to my favorite part of the show, which is questions from our audience. So again, if you haven't done this, stop what you're doing. Go to Instagram.com, look for Danny Morrell, and like and follow me there. Or if not, go to Facebook. And many of you are trying to send me friend requests on my personal page. It's not going to happen. It's maxed out. And quite honestly, I'm not even posting that much stuff there. I do everything on my business page. And that's where I post things like this. So it'll give you an opportunity to ask our guests some great questions. So, Lindsay, I'm going to go to Facebook first and let's see what we've got here. Look it, we got quite a few. Oh, you're a popular young lady. Check you out. All right, so here we go. So we go with Regina Drury, and for kicks, Regina, let me see where you're from. Let me see where you're from. It says Century 21, and it says here Regina is from North Carolina. Look at that. Who would have thought that I would have interacted with somebody from North Carolina? So Regina, thank you for listening. Thank you so much. She asked the following: where do your buyer leads come from? Do you have any assistance? Which I think we kind of covered that one. Do you by any chance get a fee up front from your buyers? And do your, that was a lot. So let's go with this.
Okay.
Where do your buyer leads come from Regina Drury, Century 21, North Carolina?
Buyer leads come from our for sale signs, of course. We use Mike Ferry's 800 info home line, which is a great source of leads and a great tool that you agents can use to actually market the seller's property. So that's kind of a double. We do a really good job with our past clients in our database. So we get referrals from them. And then our vendors do a great job. You know, our CPAs, our title company, our lenders do a really good job of taking their qualified people and sending them our direction.
Okay. So a couple of different avenues.
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me about past clients.
And of course, the internet. We get internet leads from our listings, and I work all of those.
You do as well.
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. All right. Let me go with, there's my buddy Craig.
Oh, and as far as she said about charging, I've honestly never charged anybody up front, and I've, knock on wood, never signed a buyer broker agreement.
You know what? I never did either.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. That could just, people, listen, that just goes to show you that when the value and the trust is there, you don't need to do what other people need to do. They obviously feel the integrity, the energy, and the strength that Lindsay is giving off, and that's all some people need. You know?
Right.
So awesome, fantastic. Okay, let's go with Craig Chastain. And I know Craig,
Hi, sure. Craig.
Yeah. Okay, good. So Craig is from around the corner. Craig is from Next Level Realty. Craig, you need to be joining Intero. We need to talk, all right, bud? So don't forget about that one. So Craig is from Fontana, right down the street here. And Craig asked the following question. Here we go. How are you leveraging your time and or buyer showings? How are you leveraging your time? You just kind of go for it, huh?
I kind of go for it. I prospect in the mornings, and then I do appointments in the afternoons and evenings. I went through a phase in my business where I thought I was doing pretty good, you know, doing my 60 deals a year. And I thought, oh, I don't need to work on the weekends. I'm too good for that.
Right.
And now I basically just schedule the days I'm going to work on weekends by appointment only with people that have been pre-qualified.
Awesome.
And honestly, if I can have a good Saturday, I'm happy to do it. If I'm in town,
why not?
Might as well set up 5-6 different appointments with different buyers, get it all knocked out, take the rest of the month weekends off.
Lindsay, you know what? Oh, gosh, darn it. You're just saying, I remember I had a training, and I tell my agents this all the time. I said, the reason why I sold 30 and 40 houses in my first year or two in business is because I would just take Saturday and Sunday, and I would just, I'm sure you do this, like 9, 11:30, 1:30, 4, 7, and then on Sundays, even if I had to when I just got started, and I would just do 5 or 6 showings and just bang them all out, write offers. I never had any problems with making sales.
No.
I've never in my life had problems with making sales.
Yeah. So you just, I would say, as far as leveraging your time, you're in control of your time, not the buyer. So just decide when you're willing to work and find buyers that will work with your schedule.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. You know, Craig also asked, and I'll clarify this. He said,
okay,
why buyers and do you plan on increasing your inventory? But the way you and Hal work, it is such an amazing dynamic where you have your role, he has his role. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think, and I don't think I've said this yet. I mean, I'm sure you know, Danny, it can be pretty lonely at the top. I live in a really small town, and there's not a whole lot of people doing a whole lot of anything.
Right.
So for me, the synergy, the partnership, Hal's better with me as his partner, and I'm better with
100%.
Him as his partner. So why if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm in a very amazing opportunity, and I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for Hal. So I'm very grateful every day to be here, and I feel like I've been well positioned to do so.
There go the lights. Let
yep.
me shoot my text real fast. So here's another one. So here's another question. And,
okay.
and I, actually, before I ask the question, what you just said is a quote I learned from Tony Robbins. Proximity is everything. Proximity is everything. And what that means, Lindsay, is your proximity. Thank you very much, sir. Your proximity, in this case, to Hal has caused you to do way more than you ever imagined.
Right.
Lindsay, I have a question for you. Can you
'Kay.
Do me one favor?
Yeah.
If there's a listener out there that is in within a 25-mile proximity of us and what we're doing, what advice would you give them by chance?
I would tell them, join Intero, run the call, get there as fast as you can, and sign up and join Danny's movement, because if you think about it, what he's providing you, and he's providing people all around the world just with these videos alone, the service he's providing and all the benefits, massive.
I'm going to slip you 100 here.
Okay.
When we're done. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Great. All right. Here we go. Here's one from Ernie Aguilar, one of our agents, actually. Ernie says, what systems do you have in place to handle so many buyers?
You know, I rank all my buyers, you know, A, hot lead, be, lukewarm and then see, maybe if the right thing comes along. And it sounds archaic, but I just have a bright green sheet of paper and I have everybody's last name written on this sheet, handwritten, and I just look at that every day and I check the hot sheet 3 to 5 times a day looking at the names, and it's a matchmaker. I'm the matchmaker.
That's it.
So
That's
I
it.
just match them up. If you find people that are energy killers or energy suckers, you don't have to work with everybody. I just need to work with 100 to 120 buyers.
That's
I
it.
don't need the rest. So
That's
just
it.
be selective and pick the ones that you're going to look at their name and smile every day. I'm one step closer to finding this great, great, deserving family, their perfect home.
I love your answer, Lindsay, because that's how I did it. And that's how I teach to do it. And that's how I actually built that system. There's just three components: hot, warm, or cold. And if you just move them from cold to warm and warm to hot and hot into escrow, life is great and you'll make a lot of money and you'll help a lot of people. So
Absolutely.
fantastic. All right, we'll go with the next one. Here's a great question from Wendy Junk. So Wendy asks, what are the standards in example, meeting in the office? Do you meet in the field? Do they have to meet with only your lender? Or what does your checklist look like in order to work with them? So I guess Wendy's trying to ask, let's start with this. What are your standards for working with people? How about that?
Yeah. So pre-qualified or cash in the bank. So ready to go.
Okay.
They have an idea of what they want. So a buyer that's looking in San Luis Obispo, Upland, San Diego, and San Francisco is probably not a good use of my time. So
Right.
people that are looking in my area and know what they want. People that are gonna refer us business down the road. I mean, people I enjoy working with. I think the most important part about getting somebody in the office is you can lie over the phone and you can lie in email, but you really get a feel of how these people operate and how they make decisions when you meet them in person. So meeting them in person is a very important part. And just, yeah, I think in that initial meeting, I can tell.
Awesome. I love it. Okay, fantastic. Wendy, I hope that was a good answer for you. Here we have a question from Delia Chaidez. And Delia asks, how much time between the first contact and opening escrow?
It just depends. The inventory has been low, so the past couple years I've had to actually carry a larger load of buyers than I did a while back.
Okay.
But like I said earlier, it's 3 meetings. So can I meet them once and get them done? Happens 25% of the time. Can I meet them, a second time and get it done? But if they haven't bought within that third meeting, whether it was in a week, a month, or 2 months, I'm really going back to them and reevaluating. Hey, I'm a little concerned. I've shown you the houses in the neighborhood you said you wanted, in the price point you wanted. You're not buying anything.
What's
What am
up?
I missing? Or,
Yeah.
do you need to get your price range increased, or do you want to go a little farther out where you get more for your money? Because we've seen it.
What she just said to all of our listeners, I basically take control of the situation. I lead the relationship, not the client leading me. Good,
Great.
great answer for that one. Okay, great question there. And Delia asked actually three questions,
Okay.
but the other two we kind of covered.
Okay.
Lindsay Wozowicz, because so this is another new name. So Lindsay is from, let's see here,
It's a great name.
it's a great name, Keller Williams in Peoria, Illinois.
Wow.
So what's up, Lindsay? And thank you for listening and following and all that good stuff. Lindsay asks, what's your daily routine? Although we kind of covered that one already.
Yeah,
Yeah,
a little
a little
bit.
bit. Okay, so Lindsay, I think we covered that. You have anything to add in terms of daily routine?
I didn't cover, working out in the morning, and I listen to something inspirational when I'm getting ready. So I go to the gym, get a fresh start for the day, and then while I'm getting ready at home, I have your podcast on or an audiobook, something going to inspire my mind,
Awesome.
just because otherwise, yeah, it just
Yeah.
works out really well.
I heard something. There's three types of people. And when you consider those three types of people, when it comes to personal development and success, there's kind of three different levels. Level A is, or hot, are the people that are just absolutely committed and have structures around personal development. So if that's working out every day, if that's waking up and listening to something, you know, so forth and so on. The second is, we'll call it warm. And those are the people that understand that they have to do it, but they just don't do it on a consistent basis. And then the third category is cold. And those are people that just either don't believe in or don't want to do anything in regards to personal development. And so I'm happy that obviously you are one of those people that takes personal development seriously. And as a result, you're getting the results that you're getting. So
absolutely,
great job on that. So Regina Drury asks, Regina, I already answered that question. So we're going to go to Instagram now. So
okay.
Give me 1 second, and then we will wrap this up. This
is one thing I would mention, just as a side note for people that are getting started or getting in the business, Hal sort of scared me in the beginning that the first year he had finally started making money, he didn't have enough money to pay his taxes. So, you know, everybody, I want you all to succeed and make all the money and do an amazing job, but be conservative, especially in your first couple years when you're figuring out the whole tax situation. And mm-hmm. as soon as you can, get a bookkeeper and get a financial person so you're really doing things the right way all year round. For me, that was just very invaluable because you don't want to spend all of your commissions
right
before you pay Uncle Sam.
Yep, absolutely. That is absolutely true. Let's see here. Okay, now I'm on Instagram. Matthew Meza asked a question that we already covered. So thank you, Matthew, for that question. I have here Instagram named Cuban Product. Not sure where you're from, but here's the question.
Cuba?
Probably. That'd be fun, right? How specifically do you find your buyers? How long does it take you to work with each buyer on average? How many homes do you show them? And are you very strategic with only showing a few? Some of those we've answered, but did anything ring a bell that we haven't covered?
Yeah, I think it kind of comes down to really visualizing what they want. I talk to a lot of agents and they go, well, my clients emailed me a list of 9 homes and now I have to go show them the 9 homes.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's not our job. I don't take instruction from my clients. I guide them through the process. So of course I want to know what homes interest them, which ones caught their eye. But then it's my job to go and say, okay, you said you didn't want a pool. You know, number 7 on your list has a pool. We're taking that off. You know, number 8 has 10 offers. Are you ready to go all cash over asking mm-hmm. today before we even see the home? No. So our job is to listen to our clients, figure out what their needs are, and then us be the deciding factor of what's going to work for them.
Right.
So I think a lot of that comes down to spending a little time before you just go, okay, I'll show you these 11 houses.
Right.
Really going through and setting up your day, setting up your schedule. So again, by doing that, I do limit the number of homes I show. I mean, you really never want to be looking at more than 3 homes in one day. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I think 3 meetings is kind of my standard. I do some quite a bit. I sell homes where people have never seen the home because they trust me that
right.
much
right.
that I go, hey, I just walked through this home. It's everything you want. Do you want to hop on a plane or do you want to write the contract?
Right.
So just knowing what your customers want, visualizing it, and then you reduce all of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Lindsay, final thoughts, one last piece of advice to all of our listeners. What would it be?
You know, have fun in the business. Stay motivated and stay connected, you know, through your amazing organization and, of course, the Mike Ferrer organization. There is so many amazing resources at our fingertips. You just have to decide to actually stop fighting it and move forward and make it the best year yet.
Absolutely. So listen, guys, I'm going to go ahead and say something, Lindsay.
Okay.
This has been one of my funnest shows. I got to tell you, like I literally, as you were talking, I just text. The top 10% in our company.
Oh, cool.
I specifically coach them, guide them, so forth and so on. But I just text them. I seriously think I'm going to go back to selling because I'm motivated right now. Like I want to go out there and go put a buyer in my car and go get them in escrow. But thank you, Lindsay. This has been a phenomenal treat. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your energy. I don't know if you know this or not, but we are at about an hour.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and this thing just kind of flew. I think time flies when you're having fun. So thank
yes.
you so much. For all of our listeners, once again, thank you for your support. I think that we can get over 15,000 listeners this month. If you guys could help me, as you guys can see, we're providing some great content. So share the links when we post them. I'm going to post this show on Monday on my Facebook page so that you can share it with everybody that you know. And once again, my friends, go out there, put a plan together, work hard, get rid of any doubt, any negativity, because it's all imaginary. And go out there and have an amazing rest of the year. We'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Lindsay.